your sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. I want to talk to you from this simple thought, the importance of the word. Amen. There's importance of the word, but guess what else? There's an important thing that you need to do. It's important that you speak the right words. Amen. So words are what? Important. Amen. What you say can and will be used against you. Amen. I wish I had time to tell you that, you know how back in the day we hook up with people and boyfriend, girlfriend, our friends, whoever it is, we connect with them based upon a sign. Amen. What they call the what? Zodiac sign. Amen. But God says that we use that for the wrong reasons. That whole setup, everything that you see in the stars really gives us a word. Because who is the lion? Leo the lion of Judah, Jesus Christ. Who is the one that's harvesting like the crab that holds on to everything that he takes? Jesus said, it is in my hand that no man can what? Pluck you out. Come on and say man. So we got all of these things that we can take and see in the atmosphere and in the heavens that points to the story that God wants us to see. But the Satan has turned it around to make it mean something else. You think God put it there so that we can guide our life by it, by a zodiac sign? No, he put it there so that we would have a sign in the heavens that the Son of Man has come. Oh, come on and say amen. When the world begins to end, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a what? Sign in the heavens. Come on and say amen. So God put those things there to speak volumes to us. And David begins to talk to him, to us about that, and he begins to say, day and night it utters speech, night unto night it showeth knowledge. But he said, shows knowledge, and he said, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So they constantly what? Speak to us. God constantly what? Speaks to us. We may not always hear what he's saying because we have become dull of hearing. Come on and say amen. But sometimes you hear what you want to hear, and we have what we call selective hearing. Come on and say amen. We hear the part where God will bless us. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing, but we don't hear the part where he said, bring the tithes. We get part of it, and we hear what we want to hear, but we don't want to hear the whole thing. Amen. Got people always talking about, don't judge me. And they hadn't heard that the Bible said that his judgments are sure. Come on and say amen. He's sure to judge you whether or not I do. Come on and say amen. So God's judgment are already there. All I'm doing is repeating what the judge says. If I'm a news reporter and there was a court case I was covering and all I am is an announcer, that's what I am, a caruso, an announcer. I announce what God is saying. And if all I did was hear what the judgment was and I repeat that on such and such case, the judge has given a verdict and they said that he's going to spend this many years in jail, all I'm doing is reporting. You can't get mad at the reporter because of what the judge said. Oh, because it's already what? Written. So we see these things, and he began to talk about how the sun, how the world that the sun is set in the world becomes its tabernacle, the place where it is, well, it's where the heat of the sun is. And he says, which is as the bridegroom coming out of this chamber, rejoicing as a strong man run to a race. So he's saying that just like this, and we got to pay attention here, just like he said earlier when he was testifying up here, he said that sometime we get off, but then we what? Come back. And just like the sun speaks to us every morning. Sometimes we do go down, but our light still shining and reflecting off somebody else. Come on. But then there's going to be a day that we rise up again and you'll see the brightness of our daylight. Come on and say amen. As children of God, we'll never stay down. Amen. He said that if we fall, we shall not utterly be cast down. And so when we think about all of these things, David is beginning to let us know about the things that God wrought in the heavens. But then he goes into verse 7 and he begins to talk about the things that God wrote. Amen. The things that he had written in the earth. Amen. And verse number 7 says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. So the first thing I want you to see when you realize how important the word is, I want you to see that his word is fitting. He says that the law of the Lord is perfect. That means it fits perfectly. It's no situation that arises in your life that there is not a word that fits you. If you're in the valley, David said that, yea, do I walk through the valley. Come on and say amen. Hallelujah. No matter where you are, whatever's going on, if you're sick, he said, with his stripes you are healed. If you're afflicted, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Not some of them. Amen. It's something for everybody in the word of God, no matter where you are in life. If you're feeling alone, you need to know that he has never left you alone, that he's with you even unto the end of the world. Come on. It's something in the word. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. It's fitting. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now look at this. The word is what? Fitting. So what is that telling me? This tells me that the word of God is fail-proof. It will not fail you. If you stand on a word, that word will not collapse beneath you. If you believe on the word, that word will not let you down. Come on and say amen. If you have some type of trouble, the word of God will cover you. Amen. The word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharp enough to cut through whatever's growing up in your life. You got some weeds of doubt. You got some weeds of discouragement. Just take out your sword and begin to cut it down and make your pathway clear. Your pathway, the Bible says, with the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's fitting. I can use the word for whatever it is I need. You know, the word of God is so fitting that even corporate America knows how to apply the word. The world knows how to use the word. Amen. They know how to say give and it shall be what? Given. Come on and say amen. They know what the word of God say, although they don't serve God like we do, but they know, and they will put those same godly principles that's found in the word of God, put it together, slap it on a PowerPoint, and then they will form their whole company based upon the word of God and never say God's name. Come on and say amen. And if they got sense enough to do it, how come we don't have sense enough to abide and to stay in? The Bible says that if ye abide in me, John chapter 15, and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So his word is fail-proof. It's fitting and it's fail-proof. Look at this. Not only that, but his word is foolproof. His word is foolproof because he said it make wise the what? Simple. You may be a simple-minded person, but by the time God get through with you, you'll look like a genius. You'll look like you know what you're doing. You'll look, somebody asks you, tell me now. Now, how you prayed to get that? How, what you said when you said your prayer? Tell me what you're doing to get God to do the things that you're getting God to do. And all you're saying is, I gave my life to him, and I said, Lord, thank you for whatever it is that I need, knowing that he will survive. Supply all your need according to him. I'm not depending on me. A fool said it in his heart that there's no God. A fool said, I can do it all by myself. A fool would say, Lord, don't move the mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. Oh, we sung that song, didn't we? But what a person of faith says is, I'm going to speak to the mountain and tell it to mountain, mountain. I don't care how many of them you got. It's fail-proof and it's fool-proof. I'm no fool today. I know I can't make it on my own, that if I have to step out of the boat, I need to wait on a word from the Lord. And when the Lord speak his word, I can stand on the word of God. There's no failure in God, and there's no fool in God. Oh, come on and say amen. His word is fail-proof. It's foolproof because it fits what I need. But you know the one thing I like, and I throw this in, that not only is this fitting word, this perfect word, fail-proof, and not only is it foolproof, but thank God that it's fireproof. If you don't believe me, I believe it was Daniel chapter 3. You can go and read it for yourself. There were three Hebrew boys that depended on a word from God. And they said, you know what? God is able. Whether he do it or not doesn't mean that he can't do it. Doesn't mean that he'll fail me. Doesn't mean. Come on and say amen. And sometimes you may have to seem like a fool to others so that God can show up and show you that he won't fail. Sometimes if you want a ridiculous blessing, you got to do something ridiculous. You got to stand for some ridiculous stuff. You got to have some ridiculous faith. And people say, now that just don't make sense. Seem like they keep coming out of the mess. Seem like every time they get in something, somehow they make it out. You know how I made it? I didn't make it by myself. I didn't make it on my own. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, oh, but I was a fool for him, and so he hadn't failed me yet. I've been in the fire, and I found his word to be fireproof. If I get in his word, can't nothing burn his word up, because the word of God says, he said that heaven and earth, they may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Hallelujah. His word is fitting. It's fail-proof. It's fool-proof. Oh, hallelujah. And it's fire-proof. He says it converting the soul. In other words, just like it brings the sun back every morning, do you know the reason why the sun comes back up every morning? Is because God in the beginning put a word out there and said, son, you're going to do this. And the sun has no choice but to do it. Come on and say amen. And look at what it says. It says converting the soul. That word converting means to bring it back. Every time it goes down, he'll bring it back. Oh, come on and say amen. Sometimes you feel lowly in spirit, but God somehow bring you back. Come on and say amen. I don't care how bad it gets, God will find a way to bring you back. Just like he does the sun, he keeps bringing you back up again. Amen. And so what I'm trying to let you know, that even if you die, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 3, it tells us so many times, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it even tells us that whenever we die, that God is going to bring us. Come on and say amen. Why is he going to bring us back? Because he said it, it is written. Jesus always answered with, it is written. And we need to know what's already wrote down. I need to know what already has been written about me. And since I know what's written, I'm going to write it again. Just so the devil will know that you can't take me out. Just so the foolish will know that this word won't fail me. I'm standing on the word. What word? The one that I wrote down yesterday. This is what I'm concerning my situation. God will bring me back, even though it looked dim and grim. Look like things are not going my way. Look like my health is failing. Look like people don't like me no more. Look like everything's turned against me. Look like my children are acting up. My husband, wife acting up. My change is strange. My money's funny, but I'm not depending on me to bring it back up. I'm standing on a word. I'm depending on the word, because the word will fit my need. It'll suit my case. Thank you for a fitting word. It fits me just right. You know when something don't fit you, it makes you uncomfortable. Come on and say amen. How you feel right now? I feel pretty good because it fits me. This word fits my situation because I need to stand on a word. I need to know that this word is fail-proof. I need to know that this word is foolproof. And I need to know that this word is fireproof. So no matter what the enemy brings your way, no matter if he brings the flames of hell, you'll be able to be just like those three Hebrew boys who went in the fire. But when they got there, guess who was in there? The word was already there. There was a word that was sent to the fire while they were yet heating it up hot. Yeah, while they were yet making it seven times hotter, there was a word already in the fire that when they got thrown in the fire, the word said they're going to make it. The word said, fire, you can't touch them. The word said they're going to be able to stand up. Even though they were thrown in bound, they're going to be free in the fire. And they're going to walk out of this unhurt. So sometimes you can go through some things. But you need to know that whatever I'm in, the things that I got myself into, there's already a word in the thing that's going to bring me out of this. That's why David could say it. That's why he could say the yea that I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, because he had a word already that said you're going to get through this because I'm going to make you king. Oh, come on and say amen here. There was a word already. How could David face a giant? Because there was a word already that said you're going to make it through this and you'll be king. Come on and say amen. How could Jesus go through a crucifixion? Because the word already said, if I be lifted. There's a word already. A word. That's why it's important to know the word. Some of us are not taking heed to the word. Some of us, we are part-time word handlers. We do it part of the time. Amen. We don't see you. We don't know you sometimes. We don't know the word. Amen. We just come when we get ready, when we feel the need and the urge to come. You need to hear this morning. You feel the urge to come. This thing is not a part-time thing. This ought to be your life. Ministry should never be something, a part of your life. Never be something that you do. Never be something like a part of your life. Ministry ought to be your life. I need to plan my life based upon the ministry that God has given me, because you won't be judged whether or not you told a lie here or there. You won't be judged. You're going to be judged on what you were called to do and what you did with your calling. Come on. If you wasn't faithful in your call, guess what? He's going to judge you based on what you were called to do. If you don't witness to people, all of you, including me, then guess what? You're going to be judged based upon your failure to witness to other people, because he first called you to witness to people. Then if you don't worship him, you got a call to worship. And if you don't worship, you're going to be judged based upon the call to worship him. That's why every top of every service, we call you to worship, because he says for you to come and worship. Enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. And what? We ain't blessing his name like we ought to. We ought to bless his name. And then we got to learn how to work. If you're not working in the vineyard for the Lord, you're going to be judged for your work. Come on and say amen. So if you're not faithful, if you're not just, if you're not doing what you want, the unfaithful servant will be cast into the fire and even into outer darkness. Amen. That's the word of God. But that's the word of God. You can't have do God stuff and do everything you want to do. Oh, God won't let you last too long doing that. Oh, I'm telling you, then he'll cause a little disruption in your life. And then you'll figure out why this disruption, why is this happening? Because God is saying, I need you in the place, Adam, where I put you. Come on. And so what did God do? He used not only the Spirit of God to move upon the face of the waters and get the earth right. He not only did that, but he used his word to put it in a man. Amen. And the word of God is what creates man and makes man and molds man to what he's supposed to be. If you have a man and he ain't acting right, he need to get in the word. If you got a child and they're not acting right, and I'm not talking about a male figure, I'm talking about the human race. In order for the human race to act right, they have to be in the word and under the word and hearing the word. Amen? Because that's how a man is made. You ever been a part of a group, an organization, and they use their rituals to make you, amen, to get you over, amen? What do we need to get us over? What do we need to make us? We need the word of God. And if we don't get the word of God, you will never, ever, ever become the one that God wants you to become. If you ignore the word, I'm a part-time word hearer and a part-time person when it comes to the word. But if you're one of those people, you'll never know the potential. You'll never know the things that God has in store for you, because I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for him. But it's been revealed by his Spirit. And so how can I hear what the Spirit of God is saying if I'm not present? How can I hear what the Spirit of God is saying if I don't get a word from the Lord? The word is fitting. I'm going to go on. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. David rhymed that up and put it in there, and he says that these judgments, they are forever. His word is fireproof. When the earth is destroyed by fire, guess what? His word will still be here. And guess what else? If you're in the word, you'll still be. He says forever. We live forever based upon what's in us. You live based upon what's in you. If you don't eat, you don't live. You die. Amen. If you don't eat healthy, you die sooner. That's what they tell us. Amen. So if I don't eat the word of God, then I can't live forever. But the change that happens because of the what? The word of God. That's what means something. You got to have the word of God, and that's why it's so important. If I got the word in me, can't nothing destroy me. If I'm abiding in the word and the word is abiding in me, come whatever it will come my way, I will not be destroyed. I will not be moved because of the word of God. Why do you think the sun can't be moved? Why do you think the stars can't be moved? It's because the word that tells them to stay in their place, the word tells them to stay put. And they have to what? Stay. And the word tells us to stay and abide. Oh, come on and say amen. Verse 10. Moreover, more to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. We know that his word is fitting, but we got to understand that his word also is filling. It's filling. You know his word is filling? He said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled. If you hunger and thirst, where's your thirst? Where's your hunger? What you hungry for? Some of us hungry right now. But we hungry for some physical food. Thinking about what we going to eat when we leave here. He's preaching a little long. I'm ready to go. It's almost 12. I need to beat him to Southern Classic. That's what we think about. Amen? But we got to think about the word of God. It's filling to us. He says that more to be desired are they than gold. You need to desire the word of God more than you will gold. We got rings and chains on our neck, rings on our fingers, and we pay good money for those things. And if somebody take them, we're going to act a fool. But how come if somebody asks you to miss church, ain't no problem. We can't buck and act a fool then. You got me late for you need to be acting up then. You making me miss the word. I can't believe you called me. You know I go to church. Don't bother me at this time Sunday morning or Thursday. I got some stuff I need to be hearing. Oh, but we'll fight over a piece of gold. You know, gold worth a lot right now. Come on and say amen. And so we'll act up when it comes to gold. But he said that the word of God should be desired more than gold. Then he says, fine gold. Because we got some stuff that shine and it's gold plated. But then he said, let me tell you, not the gold plated stuff, some fine, some real stuff, some fine gold, something that has been tried in the fire. Come on. Something that has been purified. And so what is he telling us? He's telling us that this word, just like fine gold is purified, is cleansed and cleaned up, and the impurities come out of it when you heat the fire up. He's saying that I'm putting you in the fire, and so that you'll become pure, so that you can become clean and consecrated by God's word. Why do you think you're tried? It's because the word. Because when the word is sown, immediately the enemy comes to try you because of the word. And he's not coming because he's going to take you out. Peter said that the trying of your faith, he said, thinking that strange concerning the what? Fiery trial. We're going to go through some stuff, but thank God that the word is fireproof. And everything that's not fireproof is going to be burned up. Everything is going to be moved out, amen, as long as we get the word. I hope you either convicted and converted today. Come on and say amen. He says that this word, he says that it ought to be desired more than gold, more than fine gold. Then he says this word is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. He says sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. He said gold. So first off, we need gold sometime or money to suit our need. But he's saying, don't substitute God's word with money, because we need God's word to suit our need. Lord, help us. But we trust in the gold that we got or the green. Oh, come on and say amen. But he says, no, don't trust in that. He said, the word of God is sweeter. It satisfies me. Come on. It not only suits me, but it what? Satisfies me. It's sweeter than honey. And then he says, and the honeycomb. I can imagine David in his day out trying to find some honey, and he finds some honey, and he sees the honeycomb dripping with honey, and he uses that honey, he eats it, but then he says, you know what? This honey's sweet, but I need to get the comb. Because if I get the honeycomb, that's where all the real ingredients is. Come on and say amen. He's saying that I don't want just the honey. I don't want the drippings. Lord, help me here. I want the full substance. And so what you got to say to yourself is that I don't want just some drippings. I don't want just something that's dripping. I want the entire word. I don't want just a little bit here and a little bit there. I don't want a quote from Joel Osteen here and a quote from T.D. Jakes there. I got to have the word for myself, because that word is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. So every day with Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before. That's why when David said, he's my honey, in the rock. I understand that when you're between a rock and a hard place, you need something sweet. You need something to satisfy you, because nothing else will satisfy you except for the word. And so while I'm in where I am, while I'm cramped up, while I'm in this position and this situation, all I need is a word from the Lord, and it'll be sweet enough to satisfy me. You know, sometimes you can drink water, but you let somebody make some good Kool-Aid, you'll drink till your stomach gets full. You'll say, I shouldn't have drunk all of that. I'm starting to catch a cramp in my stomach. Why? Because it was sweet to you. You can't tell me that sweetness don't satisfy you. That's why you got married to her. That's why you took him in. It's because he was sweet. And so you need something sweet to satisfy your soul. Your soul ought to crave for something sweet. And so you know what I got? I got a sweet tooth for the word. When I hear them nuggets from the word, and I say, man, that's some good drippings, but I'm not satisfied with a drip here and a drip there. I need to get the whole honeycomb. And sometimes you may get stung trying to get the bee's honey, but I think I'll take it anyway, because even after I'm stung, I know the sweetness of the honey will satisfy me, and I forget about the sting. I forget about the swelling, because I know one day it's going down, but the honey's still sweet to me. Oh, come on and say yeah. See, we got to be sacrificial in order for you to get that honey. You got to be sacrificial. You got to take a chance, baby. You got to say, I'm going to step out, and hopefully I don't get stung. But if I do get stung, at least I got the honeycomb. Come on and say amen. At least I got something to prove that I've been through it. I didn't steal it. Somebody say amen. I didn't get it from him or her, but I got it through a lesson I learned. Now I know how to handle the bees and still get the honey. What are you talking about here? The bees are like the devil. He's waiting to sting you to make you run the other way. But because I want the honey so bad, because I want the honeycomb so bad, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty after the honeycomb. And because I want it so bad, I don't care if I gotta climb a tree, I'm gonna get my honey. I don't care if I have to go through the bush, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. Don't care if I have to tear the wall down, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. So in order for me to get the word, I don't care how far I gotta drive, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. I don't care if I gotta sit through a long service, but I'm gonna stay till I get my honeycomb. I gotta be satisfied by the word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. We need to know that by the word of God, he warns us. Yes, he does. And guess what? But if we keep his word, if we receive his word, he said there's great reward. One scripture tells us that there's a re-reward. Means that he rewards you, then he rewards you again. I'm all for rewards. You know, sometimes everybody can get an award. Oh, come on and say amen. They got perfect attendance awards. I showed up. So you can get an award. But when we start talking about a reward, that means you did something to excel. You went above and beyond. You got something that other folks couldn't get. Come on and say amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m.